We don't run from the truth. Ooh, we don't fake the healing.
We feel it.
It's a revolution now, and you're invited.
Ooh, 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 ooh,
ooh. Heal that shit, don't hold it in.
Ooh,
rip the band-aid, let it begin. Truth gets loud when you stop the lie. We cry, we rise and testify.
Ooh,
heal that shit.
Yay! We're here. We're back with another episode. I knew it was coming.
Yeah!
I knew it was coming, so I just made space for it. Embrace it. What's up, y'all? Welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit, where we are taking everything we learned in 2025 and amplifying it up for a new year of transformation. This started out as a podcast. It is not just it's not a podcast anymore, y'all. This is a revolution in healing in a full-on container of shenanigans, okay? So whether you are a longtime listener or you are here for the very first time, welcome. Get on in here and get ready for some life-changing conversations.
Yes, indeed, because we've learned something powerful over the past year. When we share our truth, we give others permission to do the same. We've created this space for the truth seekers, the change agents, and anyone ready to do the work. Because let's be honest, real change happens when we stop hiding and start healing.
So whether you are here to work through your own journey or you are learning from ours, you are in the right place. We are about to get real, get deep, and most importantly, get results.
Okay, so buckle up. Buckle up. Strap in. Grab your favorite drink and let's heal this shit together.
Okay.
Woo!
Well,
yes, indeed.
Wow. So, hello. My name is Kimberlyn. My name is Kimberlyn Jackson, and I am an educational activist, advocate, and consultant. I am a visionary and motivational speaker. I'm a virtual producer and network executive. I am a universe architect and a scientist, a biologist to be specific. And I specialize in things like brain research and trauma and education, educational spaces, if you will. I'm also the founder of Intuitive Melanated Life Coaches, where I help people deepen their personal relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm also a professional frolicker currently living in Medellin, Colombia. And I'm a host and one of the podcasters here on this here platform that we got going on. What up?
Okay.
Millennial peace sign.
Well, I can't wait to tell y'all who I am, because there's been a lot of conversations as it relates to who I am, and I can't wait to clear the record today. Amen. My name is Bianca Goolsbee. I am a digital strategist. I am a consultant. I am an education activist and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Come on. MSGA, baby. I am an investigator and a receipt collector. You don't want to be in my folder. So with that being stated, I am the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and we heal. I'm also an intuitive, melanated life coach, a certified life coach out here in these streets, and a digital nomad currently working wherever there's Wi-Fi. And I am in Santa Marta, Colombia. Mm-hmm. And my purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment, whatever that might look like, because life be lifing and people be peopling. And I'm going to tell you, God be guiding. And I'm very grateful to be in this space and to be with y'all today. And I can't wait to tell y'all about these community agreements so that we can move forward with our program, because we need to make sure that we set the record straight as how we operate in this space. Okay. The three keys: accountability, transparency, and integrity. That is the cornerstone of my personal life and anything that I build. I strive personally to align with these three keys. I don't always get it right, but I try every day to honor the pledge. I can't wait to amplify the pledge because we worked hard on that. And we have students that have recited that and educators who have recited the pledge to use their story to change the world. So before we go further, we want to make sure that we are clear about the expectations and what you can expect from us and what we expect from you. Okay? Want to make sure we have clarity in the house. Amen?
Amen.
So what you can expect from us. The three keys: we're going to keep it real, we're going to speak freely, and we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. I'm giving you this disclaimer now because you might have little listeners around and you might want to have some headphones, some AirPods, or maybe not, that's your business. But in this space here, we are going to speak freely. Okay? And I'm a PK and I'm starting to cuss a little bit more. So bear with me. And my co-partner here, been in the church, and she cuss a lot. Okay, so we here in this space together. All right, all right.
That's not your thing.
Yes, indeed.
I do be cussing though. I do be cussing because sometimes some things need a cuss attached with the type of craziness that's happening out here. So just know that, okay?
Yes, indeed. So there are some expectations that we expect from you. And I want to make sure that we honor that and say that to make sure that the record is clear. Okay. Clarity. Amen. Hate speech, hate comments, not over here. All right. We serve the Block and Be Blessed ministry. Amen. And we are locked up. Okay. With the will of God to ensure that if you ain't supposed to be in here, you will get blocked. Okay. We want you to engage with us with intention, though. And if you don't, we'll escort you to the Block pew and we'll keep it moving. But we want you to go on this journey with us. We are not the expert in all things, but the things that we are experts in, baby, listen, listen good. And we are participating in this journey and we want you to bring people with you because together we're committed to doing the work to heal. Y'all, we're here to heal, y'all. This podcast is about healing. So the things that we talk about is personal in nature. We're talking about our life. So don't get upset with any of us when we are sharing our truth and our experience. Okay? All right. Govern yourselves accordingly. What updates we have?
Sorry, the horns was going off outside. I said today is really going to be something. And I just don't even know what we have in store. So I'm just excited about that. So what I want to say is that the ways that you are able to communicate with us, because I don't know what's happening, like I'm also here for the ride, is through emojis. All right. So we have our collective emoji, as Bianca just shared, that this is a healing space. Our collective emoji is the heart that has the bandage wrapped around it. That represents that represents this space and sending us good energy in this space. That also lets us know that you are a part of this space by utilizing that particular emoji. So you are always welcome to include that in any of the chat correspondence for those of you who are here in the live chat with us as we're recording, or if you are watching the live premiere with us, if you will go ahead and drop that heart with the bandage wrapped around it into the chat. If you're watching this in the replay, you can leave it in the comments. All of that helps. So That's one of the ways to show us love. We also have our individual emojis. So my emojis are the sunflower and the crayon. The sunflower, because yellow is my favorite color, reminds me of the sun. It brings me joy. It makes me happy. Sunflowers find the sun and turn towards the sun. And when they cannot find the sun, they turn towards each other. Sunflowers are also the symbol for invisible disabilities. And as someone who is neurodivergent and figuring out what that means more and more every day, I am a strong advocate for those of us who live with things where you quote unquote appear normal on the surface. So that's the sunflower for me. And then the crayon, because there was a time in my life where everything was very black and white, and I made a conscious decision to color the fuck out of my life. So insert said crayon. And that shows up in all the ways that I choose to have joy and to bring color and to frolic and to allow myself to see the beauty of everything that is in front of me. So those are my individual emojis. Bianca, please share with them about yours.
Yes, indeed. It would be my pleasure. Okay, first up is the teddy bear. As you can see, I am wrapped in my teddy bear goodness. Okay, I have my wonderful new Snuggie on. I'm feeling brand new and I'm with it today. Okay, teddy bear also symbolizing that I am cute and cuddly, but also don't play with me. And that has been a very important lesson on this accountability tour that I've been on personally that I guess we'll circle back to when we get to our transparency moment. And the second emoji is the hands that form the heart. I have been very, very, very transparent as it relates to my heart obstacles and even how much my procedure cost, one of them. Almost $500,000 to get my heart reconstructed. And that does not include my pacemaker and the medical care that is required for the upkeep of the pacemaker. When I tell you I am a walking miracle and I know my worth, and the hands that form the heart symbolizes the love that I give, but also the journey that I have experienced with my heart in reminding people that stress kills and you need to be very intentional with your heart, who has access to your heart, the things that you're spending your time on, because I'm on a clock, I'm on a battery, and I don't want you to end up in the situation like how I'm in the situation. So please be intentional with your health, your peace, your heart, all of it, because your body is your temple and it is everything for you. So please be intentional with how you use your body. And those are my emojis, the teddy bear and the hands that form the heart.
Thank you. So again, at any time as we are sharing, if you want to send us love, you can use those emojis and that's how we receive that. All right. Also, you heard Bianca reference that she is in her teddy bear Snuggie, and there are times where we're taking field trips throughout an episode. And so if you are listening to us, make sure that you come over to YouTube and check us out visually. Okay. And then if you are visual and you're like, I want to take y'all on the road with me and listening, we are available on all the places that podcasts be at. So whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever the podcast be at, that's where we at. Okay. So you are able to take us with you there. We also have a website called WeHealThatShit.com, and there you are able to get on the mailing list and get access to the resources that we have, different book lists that we have. So get over there, click around and see the things. All right. I think that is it for our announcements, govern ourselves accordingly and things and such and so. So we're going to go ahead and transition into our spirit check. And our spirit check is the part of the episode where we take some time to contextualize how we are feeling and what we are feeling in this particular moment. And we do that through a system of using colors. And so I'm going to share my screen for those of you who are watching so you'll be able to see that. And then I will describe what you are seeing for those of you who might be listening. So on the spirit check, we have four different levels, four different colors. So green, I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. In yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. And so, again, if you are here with us live as we're recording, feel free to put the combination of colors, if you will, into the chat. If you're watching during the live premiere, feel free to do the same and or answer the poll that we have. And if you're watching this during the replay, you can leave us in the comments. Okay. So the way that we do this is different. And we kind of weave things together and make a contextualized situation of how we do our spirit checks. So we're going to model that for you. And Bianca, you are up first to share how your spirit is feeling today.
So my spirit is a big, blue, vibrant heart with speckles of green. It's very, the speckles of green, I feel like, are getting larger in size. And it's for just a multitude of different factors, but I'm good. I don't have any complaints. I'm not in the space where I'm like a yellow or a purple where I'm like not doing so well, or, you know, I'm just thinking about all the things that could be better. You know, like I'm very much in gratitude and very blessed in my positioning, although, you know, it could be better. It could be, but I'm just not there in that space of like trying to focus on that. So to visually paint it, it is a very vibrant blue heart with large green speckles that are showing up, that is trying to shine in this painting of this blue heart. So the green is definitely trying to make it punch through it. And so that's how I can visualize that when I think about my spirit currently, presently.
Okay. I love that. I'm going to I think I see a pathway that is, go with me here, follow the yellow brick road vibes. Okay. And that yellow brick road, if it was not yellow, it is very much a turquoise brick road, if you will, paved in glitter. Okay. Turquoise brick road that is leading to, if I'm a, since we on the brick road situation, I'm gonna take us to the Emerald City. So very vibrant green, and I'm saying Emerald City, but I'm gonna take that back because the green is actually very much like plant green. It's like lush nature, thriving green. Think if you know plants, monsteras and snake plants and palms and just beautiful green, right? So I'm envisioning this pathway that's turquoise-ish that's going towards this green. I am good. And I said to myself the other day, I was like, I feel like I have had so many more good days than I don't even think I have had bad days in the past since I wrote that letter. Honestly, I feel like that was honestly probably the last bad day that I had that I was like, or bad moment that it just was like, I don't know what else to do. Since then, I feel like I've been on this pathway of blue turquoise going into green. And so I'm not there to this lush garden yet, but I definitely see that the glitter has changed from purple to blue to we getting real turquoise-ish and that green finna come up and I can see it. So that is my contextualization.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, transparency moment. You up? What's up?
So, just putting a pin on this, that you heard us give examples of how to quantify that. So you can kind of describe for us what that looks like for you, whether that is in the shape of a heart, or we've done lava lamps and plaid and gradients and skies and all sorts of things. So however it makes sense for you, you just go ahead and share that with us. We are happy to receive that and honor that energy. So to our transparency moment, this is the part where we talk about what's been happening in our lives and in catching up with each other about the things that have been going on. Sometimes we don't have an opportunity to even talk to each other. So just be like, girl, this the catch up since the last we talked, girl, is wild. So having said that, I am deep off in preparing. So I'm living in a Discover Your Destiny world right now, like fully and completely. And so Discover Your Destiny, for anyone who doesn't know, is the anchor life coaching program that exists in my circles, in my universe. And Discover Your Destiny is the first step to becoming a certified intuitive melanated life coach. Okay. So contextualizing that to say, the next situation, the next segment of time over this back half of the year is like aligning all these different levels of things that are happening. So we have Found Her Future, which is our internship program with myself and Shekinah from the Let's Talk Sis universe. And in that internship program, they also do Discover Your Destiny. And now they're moving into the second part of the internship program, which is called the Metamorphosis. And during the Metamorphosis is where they take there are two modules in Discover Your Destiny, modules 3 and 4, where the question is asked, what impact do you want to make on the world? And what steps do you need to take in order to get there? And so we take the answers from those modules 3 and 4 and bring that forward in the Metamorphosis to build out their universe. And so we just had our first session of the Metamorphosis the other day. And it's very much like we have a thing in my universe with bamboo, and bamboo means like it's happening. And so we have talked about, I don't know if you remember, I know you remember because you were there, when I went into the group chat here in Medellin. At the time, I believe you were still in the U.S. This was, 2024. So you were kind of coming back and forth and visiting. And I saw a message that said, we have interns. Does anybody want interns? And I messaged you and I was like, hey, there's this opportunity and we have a meeting and then we get the interns. And then we kind of were, you know, talking them through Discover Your Destiny and getting information. And then some of the interns fell off and then some of the interns stayed. And like, so seeing that now manifesting into this is what this has now like morphed into is the Metamorphosis. And so it's so interesting because you and I have had this opportunity many times to appreciate the things that our past self did in preparation for the future. And we have all of these things that we can pull from and be like, okay, we can use this concept here. This, we planned it all out. We already got it. Run the play, right? So that's what it feels like with the Metamorphosis and the internship program. Also, there are people who are getting their life coach certification right now, their intuitive melanated life coach certification. So leading them through their processes and birthing their universes, making sure that they feel comfortable and confident in holding their own spaces and holding their own and like they're set up and ready and like all the things. So I'm also doing that. And there are people who have already gotten their certification who are like, I actually need to be back in this because I need to get focused and lock in, twin, right? So there's that going on. And there are people who are coming into Discover Your Destiny for the very first time who are also like, what is this journey that y'all talking about? Because, oh my gosh, this sounds like what I need. And also, I have no idea what I'm about to do and what I'm preparing for. Like, I just know that the way that y'all talk about it sounds like this is something I need to do. And I feel like my spirit guided me here. And so, okay, let's see. And managing all of that and ensuring that the containers are carved out to be present with them in their journey. And leading them always back to themselves about like, no, you are prepared and you're ready. So let's look at this feedback and make sure that we implement that and that you're ready to go. But you are executing and this is good. Like we can tweak this, but this is good. Right. And then also with the steps that the people who are making that are getting their certification and all that, and also like making these choices to be a part of Discover Your Destiny, there are major life changes that are happening right now. Moving, new jobs. I mentioned earlier auditions. Bursting on to social media and deciding how I'm going to use this platform. Like, so there's also all of that happening in their lives at this time where they're like, okay, I'm about to take this journey again. That is what life is like right now, is like making sure, okay, do I have everything in line? Do I have the calendar invites together? Do we get the paperwork together? Do we have this? We got the workbook. We got the, okay, we need to make sure we get feedback over here. Does this link to that and align to that? Okay, now they're going to submit this to here. Okay, now last time we had this feedback, so let me shift that. That is what my life has been like. And also, it is very much within my capacity to be able to do. And it also brings me an incredible amount of joy that I feel equipped and confident and competent and ready. And even this time we have a few people who are coming through the Divine Exchange track. And so even thinking through what is an equitable exchange for them to then be able to contribute to the building out of this universe, but then also building out their own universe and then crafting storylines that are going to make sense so that we can introduce your universe to people, because we want people to then go get interested in you and find out what you're doing and get all into you, and y'all go down to your own Patreon and y'all talking about the things that y'all talking about. Like it's so big. And is actively happening. And so I feel like I'm sitting in this space of making sure I'm as intentional as I possibly can and watching God do what God is doing literally in front of my face. And I know in a little bit you're going to share, you know, the things that have been happening in your world. And I don't even know what's happened since we last talked, but like I'm watching God do the things that we have prayed about, the things we have planned about, the things that we have talked about and dreamed about. And like, I'm watching those things happen right now in real time. And so I'm doing everything I can to help myself to remain as present as possible, to appreciate the journey and not try to jump to the end. It's like, no, we got to like document this, write this down. Like this is happening right now. Because it was a few weeks ago on The Frolicking Truth where I said, I'm going to give y'all an example of what it's like to go on a Discover Your Destiny journey. And each week I talked about the module that we would be on. I was like, this is who I am. This is who I want to avoid being. This is the impact I want to make on the world. This is the steps I need to take to get there. These are the obstacles that are standing in the way. These are the boundaries I need to set up. This is the self-care plan, right? And I said, y'all watch what God is about to do. And I feel like that was a very bold statement, but also I felt very confident in being able to give that statement because none of this was my idea in the first place. So it's like, y'all watch what God finna do. Y'all go ahead on and watch and see. And I don't know what's happening. Like, I'm on the ride too, you know? So I'm trying to be intentional about enjoying the journey.
Yes, indeed. Cheers to celebrating the journey and being present in the moment. Cause woo child, it's a lot of moments here. So I'm really excited to hear about the things that are happening with Discover Your Destiny. I do truly wish that I had the capacity to fully commit. Otherwise, I would be present in being in that space. So I just want to say I appreciate the love and the offering that you give to people to allow them to rediscover what their life is and what they want it to be. And it was a pivotal program for me right before my divorce, and needed all of those skills and all the things that I've learned to continue being where I am today on the other side of a lot of it, which, who chow? Well, you already know how this go, Kim. So, I want to be able to provide a context as it relates to how we met. And when I describe it, I think that for me is the transparency moment. But I do think that before I do that, there's extra context that needs to be provided. And that will come from you, because I found you based on what your experience was and how that was documented in the paper. That's how I found you. So if you could provide the people that and share that, then I could add clarity and context
where you came in,
where I came into that.
Yeah. So, and so everything that's been happening with Bianca, like, builds on all of this. So y'all need that context before we get to her transparency moment, in case y'all didn't catch that. So, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I'm an educator and school improvement specialist and all that. So I started working in Hillsborough County Public Schools in 2006. So over that time, I was a classroom teacher, and then I worked as a mentor for 4 years with the district. And then one of the schools that I mentored at, I wound up going to that school as a student success coach. A student success coach is a person who has a caseload of students who have experienced failure in the past. So whether that be with attendance, behavior, or grades. So I had a caseload of maybe about 100 students. You can think of it somewhat like a guidance counselor-ish type of role, if you will. But with my students, my job was to teach them how to be successful again. I have always worked at Title I schools and Renaissance schools. So these are schools that have a student population that have a high percentage of free and reduced lunch. So it's low socioeconomic status, students that don't have a lot of access, okay? And so the school that I went back to after mentoring, which was the school that I had mentored all up to that point, was Memorial Middle School in Tampa, Florida, in Seminole Heights. And so when I got to Memorial Middle School, it was 2016, and I came in as a student success coach. The school, if you think about, I've worked at a few schools that I could very much relate it to lean on me. It was a lot that was going on. It was kids pooping in the hallways and setting fires, and like, it was a lot that was going on at the school. But I felt compelled that that's where I was supposed to go. So in that time, they wound up doing an administrative switch to have another principal come, a whole nother administrative team to come to the school to support the school, because the school was the only, was it the only middle school? I think it was the only middle school at the time that was in turnaround status. So turnaround status means that the school has not achieved annual yearly progress or adequate yearly progress, which means basically the kids ain't passing the exam. Again, I'm a reference, lean on me. They was needing to pass this exam. If they don't pass the exam, the people coming in to take over the school. It was that type of situation, okay? So they wind up changing the administration. The administration was changed. Like the new principal, we knew who the new principal was before the school year turned over. So we had an opportunity to be able to meet with the new principal. I had an opportunity to be able to sit with her. Her name is April Gilliard, and communicate from my perspective again as having mentored at that school and now being a part of the faculty. What did I see as this person with this unique perspective? Ms. Gilliard, you know, received that and all of that. In the same token, this was towards the end of the year. So every year they would have what was called a turnaround breakfast. And the turnaround breakfast is for a student who has not been doing well and they finally got their act together. And so now they're doing well. And so each school selects a student to go to the turnaround breakfast. As the student success coach, it's probably somebody that's on my caseload. So I select the student. We go to turnaround breakfast. At the turnaround breakfast, we meet the school board member that represents our district. So this is District 5 in Hillsborough County, Tampa Bay, Florida. So her name is Tamara Schamberger. I meet Tamara Schamberger. I say to Tamara Schamberger, aren't you? Now, Tamara Schamberger is a young, Black, pretty, lady, right? Woman. And so as a Black woman, I see you, girl. You know, I love Black women. Like, I want us to win, right? She's stylish. You know, she looked like she talking that good shit, okay? So I ask her, I'm like, hi, you're a school board representative? She says, yes. I said, I'm the student success coach over at Memorial Middle School, and we need your help. We're getting a new administrator. You know, I've been there. I mentored there, but like, we're about to make a big transition with the new administration that's coming in. We could really use your support. Would you be able to come to the school to see what I'm talking about? She says some combination of, yes, absolutely, I'm gonna come to the school. Sure enough, I'll be there. Okay. This happened in May. So I got there in 2016. So this is May of 2017. Or is this 15 to 16? I don't remember right now. I don't remember dates. We'll have to go back and fill those in. But this is somewhere, I believe I went back to the school for the 16-17 school year. So this would have been the end of the year in 2017. So a school year happens, right? We get the new administrator, April Gilliard. We put all sorts of things into place, right? So I'm talking, our kids have a food pantry. They have a clothes closet. We are, a mentoring group. I had chosen women. We got a step team. We have, I'm also going out in the community to get community partnerships. So we got all sorts of things that are now coming in the doors down here to Memorial Middle School. And so because we were in turnaround status, we were grouped among a whole group of schools that was in danger of being taken over by this organization called Phelan Leadership Academies, who was run by a Black man named Earl Phelan. Okay. So around this time, we working, we trying to earn a C on our state test. Okay. Because that's going to keep us from getting closed. They done had that conversation. If y'all don't get it, you out of here. Okay. So, all right. So we working to earn IC. Ain't heard from Tamara Schamberger all year. She has not come. Okay. But we doing the things because we care about our kids and we earning this C. And so there's an article that's written in the newspaper in the Tampa Bay Times. And in the article, Tamara Schamberger is quoted as saying something to the effect of, and y'all can Google these articles, they're out there. So something to the effect of, okay, more context. So with the organization, Phelan Leadership Academy is coming in, a lot of the conversations were about whether we were going to have to reapply for our jobs or like what's going to happen because we don't know. This is very uncertain. And so those were the questions that we had as teachers and staff that are working there at the schools. And so Tamara Schamberger is quoted as saying something like, why are y'all worried about who going to say and who going to go? At the end of the day, the kids are not getting what they need, is what she said. So I didn't see the article at first. I saw the article when she posted it on her Facebook page. Now, keep in mind, young Black woman, she on the school board. I'm following you down to the Facebook. Like, I'm supporting you, sis, right? And so I read this article where she proudly quotes herself and saying that the kids ain't getting what they need anyway. So, like, why y'all worried about it? And I was like, well, how you finna say the kids ain't getting what they need down here at Memorial Middle School when you ain't never came to Memorial Middle School? Like, what is happening right now? And so I commented that on the page somewhat, not in those words. We do have screenshots somewhere that we can read and we'll post in the Patreons and things. But I'm basically like, you know, I wish that you would have come to the school. I wish that I said something like, I wish people would stop talking around us and actually come and talk to us. And, you know, you said that you were going to come and you didn't come, basically was like, so it would be nice for you to actually come and see what we're actually doing instead of saying that the kids aren't getting what they need. And so when I made that statement, I very much was like expecting her to one, ignore me, or two, be like, you right, sis, I didn't come. Let me come tomorrow, whenever, or call my office so that I can make sure I get down there. You know, accountability, I think, is what I was expecting. And what that did not happen. And so what had happened is that she very much took offense to me holding her accountable for her job. And she gave several excuses and she was kind of like, she has so many schools and all this kind of stuff. Now, I already told you that Memorial Middle School is the only middle school that was in turnaround status in your district. So that means that we are a high priority. And she had made it to schools that was around the corner and up the street, but you never came over here to see about us. So how the hell you sitting up here talking about our kids ain't getting what they need? Girl, I'm taking clothes home to wash our kids' uniforms. Like, what? I'm dropping kids off. Like, what are you talking about right now? And you ain't even came to help? What? So anyway, so that happened. Okay. And so in this exchange, it's myself and the several other people that witnessed this exchange on Facebook. Basically, long story short is she was saying a whole lot of slick shit. And she was asking me, basically, well, did you talk to the principal? Did you talk to the superintendent? Did you talk to this person? Da, da, da. And so I was like, yes. And now I'm talking to you. Like, and I said something like, and I talked to my principal. So when I said my principal, that's when she realized, oh, she worked for the district. So she goes and she looks me up, winds up sending an email to my principal. But the email was of selected screenshots of the conversation. So then what happened is she started deleting shit that the slick shit that she had said, she started deleting. So she goes back. I realized she deleting shit. So I start screenshots. Okay. And so she sends an email. This is all happening like Saturday night to Sunday morning. Saturday night at like 11 p.m. or something. She sends an email to my principal, April Gilliard, that I just told y'all about. And basically was like, who is this Kimberlyn Tylen Jackson? And who the hell she thinks she's talking to? And something need to be done with her, basically. Again, we have screenshots. We could put all that in the Patreon. So, I see the email go out because at the time I had my work emails forwarded to one of my personal emails. And so I could screen, you know, when I wanted to open shit. And so I saw the email go out. I said, oh, this the kind of snake ass chick that she is. Gotcha. So I go head on over that. That happened Saturday, Sunday. I go down there to the Office Depot, to the Kinko's, and I print out my 22 pages of screenshots. Because what you're not going to do is sit up here and create a narrative that did not happen. Okay, so I get back to work on Monday and I explain to the principal because she thinks she calling me in here to have a professional discussion and she's going to write me up and all this. Girl, that ain't even what happened. So let me sit down and let me let you look through this binder of what actually happened. So after I finish telling her that, she's like, oh, my God, so what you going to do? And I said she owes me an apology or else I'm going to the newspaper. Long story short, she ain't gave no apology to this day. OK. And so I went to the newspaper and so I called the newspaper and I told them what happened. And they wrote an article about how Tamara Schamburger tried to get me fired because she was being held accountable for her job as a school board representative in District 5 in Hillsborough County, Florida. They wrote that article. And then Tamara Schamburger went on the Facebook on that article and acted an ass. So then they wrote a second article, which was then an op-ed about how she acted about the first article that was written about her. Now, I decided I ain't got nothing else to say because why? We still got to earn this seat. We got to make sure that our kids get this seat and that all of this time that we done spent up here, that our kids are going to be all right and we're going to be here for them. So I go back to working. Okay. So again, this is 2017, 2018-ish. So that's what was happening behind the scenes that sets up the article that you then found.
So I'm glad that you provided that context. So as I was perusing the internet, because I wrote an op-ed, I am celebrating the 7-year mark of that. And actually today, Kimberlyn, today marks a year since our trademark has been marked final with prejudice today, 1 year ago. So when I say I am in all of my feelings today as it relates to having this discussion and even the birth of Teaching for the Culture and even the transitions and pivots that were necessary that needed to happen for my personal survival, like I am getting emotional as I am unpacking this in real time. Again, not necessarily knowing what all I was going to say and share, but just even your situation and what you dealt with retaliation is exactly what I dealt with as it relates to speaking out and what happened. So when I spoke out on what happened, there were several different people.
So I need you to back up, because I need you to take us to, you said you started teaching in 2019 or 2018, 19. When did 17. You start?
I started 17.
I need you to back us up to 17, to what was happening in your world at 17 that led up to writing the op-ed.
Yeah. So I was new to Tampa. I relocated to Tampa to be partnered with my now ex-wife. And we created a relationship. I moved to Tampa and I wanted to work in the classroom. And with that, I did not have any type of context as it relates to a Tampa system. I was familiar with Duvall's system because of the internship program that I had, where I was working with fourth and fifth grade girls that were flagged to be in the school to prison pipeline. So that is my background and experience, having a criminal justice background, minor in psychology, and later I ended up getting my master's degree. Now, since people are talking about degrees on a side tangent, I do have my doctoral degree. I wanted to just make sure I let people know that I do have a doctorate in snitching. So my certificate and credentials is posted wherever you can find it. I did post it so people could see my receipts.
Before you continue, I just wanted to say Duval County is in Jacksonville, Florida, because, you know, people are watching this from all over. So I just want to make sure that y'all are like honing in on to where all of this is occurring. But go ahead.
So I entered the classroom. I was very thankful for my line sister who provided a recommendation and the chair at the time of the Jacksonville Black Chamber of Commerce. My work before entering the classroom, before even being in Tampa, I was one of the directors for the Jacksonville Black Chamber of Commerce, helping Black businesses in Duval County to ensure that they had everything that they need to be successful in what was happening in Jacksonville and many different cities where there was active work that was done to target Black-owned businesses, particularly at the time, brick and mortar, in areas that they wanted to gentrify and things were changing. And we was right there lockstep to help those businesses. I was a media director, so the communications and the things I was doing, there are so many pictures of design work and billboards and things that I've created that have been plastered all over the city and in conference spaces in the city. And again, I'm just very thankful for that experience and that work with the Jacksonville Black Chamber of Commerce. And then when I relocated to Tampa, I was like, I want to work in the classroom. I want to teach children how to code. And there was an opening at Jennings Middle School. Again, did not have any context as to where Jennings Middle School was, but I did do some research to figure out, obviously, and I did see that it was a low-performing school that was flagged and identified, that it was a Title I school, which I really wanted to work in a school that had a lot of Black and brown children, because, again, I'm trying to teach our Black and brown children in particular how to code and how to navigate these digital spaces, because that's what I've been doing my whole life, it feels like. So I get the job, I start working, and boy, oh boy, it was interesting. My experience was very, very interesting. It's interesting that you mentioned the Lean on Me reference, because that's actually what I wrote in my op-ed. And I have seen some very traumatic things that have taken place within the walls of a school that I don't think should be happening, but it did. And because I was identifying that, and because I was putting them in emails and in writing and asking for accountability, it's started to shift things. So my first school year was new. You know, it was a learning curve. I did it. I went through the process. I became highly effective. My reviews and observations were great. I appreciate the support and even the mentorship program at the time that I was going through. I felt like I was very equipped to be the best educator I could in the situation that we were in. The second year was very, very interesting. At that point, I got a new job title. I became the team lead. So not only was I leading my department, but I was also one of the team leads for eighth grade. So just imagine now additional titles and workload that's being placed upon me on top of all of it. I will say that by the time I wrote my op-ed, I was at a breaking point, experiencing burnout, not liking the person that I was. I gained significant amount of weight. It just was a very demanding and really stressful environment for me to be in. And I didn't feel safe. Why? Because children were pushed out the window. Why? Because educators were harmed. Why? Because it's just an interesting environment to be in with lack of supervision. And then at the time, I don't think we really had the morale and the culture at the school to really help our children. It was more of like it was every person for themselves. And the children knew that. And because of that, the children was like, oh, we don't need to follow any rules. Y'all don't even have any rules on what you're doing. We had a rule of all teachers stand outside their door when the bell rings. My hallway was a shit show. Consistently, I'm at the end because I have a computer lab, business technology educator, just to clear that up just again. So I'm in the back of the hallway, the front of the hallway. I'm like, well, where are the teachers? Where's my fellow coworkers? Where's my people? Because the elective hallway was always in a mess. OK, and it's also isolated in the back of the campus, too, the way that it's positioned. So much stuff has happened. But moving past all that, because again, I documented that. I shared a lot of the things that were happening at the school when it was happening right before my op-ed, because I wanted to give people a perspective that they probably wouldn't even know or seen. If you haven't been in the classroom, I'm saying, like, please go and go see for yourself, okay? And it's completely different now, post-COVID, right? So I reached my breaking point, Kimberlyn. I was like, I came into this position not needing this position and wanting to help. I came into the position to help our kids. Like, I had an established business. I was already doing the things prior to that. So I was like, my impact can be well beyond the four walls of the classroom. And that's my position. And it's manifested itself in a global way that I didn't think it would happen. But I wrote my op-ed. It went viral. I've shared bits and parts of that in this journey on Heal That Shit in other spaces on the internet. And just for time, I don't necessarily want to unpack all of that. But I do want to share the fact that the origin story and the root of this conversation is I was so fed up, I just started digging. When I tell you my hands were moving like a mad woman, trying to research the history of the district and to research different school board members. And just, I had no idea the inner workings of how a school district worked. I had no idea the politics that were at play. I had no idea some of the things that I know now. And that was just because of me being curious and me digging into getting information. And what I uncovered in that process was a lot. And that was like, How do I help this? How do I solve this problem? How do I address it? So I said, I know what I'll do. Let me do some internet research and let me turn this into a show and let me educate the people and document as I'm doing this, because I need people to see the things that I'm researching, because it's a lot. So I do some research and I see Kimberlyn pop up. And I see an article that talked about Tammy Schamburger that she mentioned. And I have had my series of run-ins with Tamara Schamburger. So the confirmation bias as it relates to Tammy's character, I will say I fell right into the confirmation bias of being like, oh, yep. And then after talking to Kimberlyn, then I then had receipts to where now it's not me just basing it off of the bias that I had because I'm seeing what this person is doing. But now I actually have receipts that this person is how they're operating in this role. And the fact that Kimberlyn had 22 pages of screenshots. Oh, I fell in love, baby. Let me tell you, because of my love for receipts and the way that she had that outline and she had that together. She said, I have my 22 pages of screenshots. I said, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I'm ready to be petty today.
That is the perfect sound effect. Because I know that's what you were saying.
So I slid in Lil Baby inbox, Lil Baby being Kimberlyn. Okay. I slid in her inbox and I was like, hey, so I am reporting and doing some investigation and I seen this article. Would you be willing to interview with me? And Kimberlyn left me on read. She left me on read for a while. She would interact with my profile and things of that nature. But as far as answering my direct question about the interview, finally, she did tell me that she wasn't in the capacity and the space to do it. But, you know, she'll come around and she'll think about it. She'll consider it. So I was like, OK, all right. So it's not a no, but it's not a yes. So let me, you know. All right.
As so for context. For context, though, filling in that gap. So remember I told y'all I had just went back to working, right? So I don't know this lady that is contacting me in the DMs, talking about she a reporter and all this. Girl, we trying to get this C so that we can maintain what needs to happen, because Ms. Gilliard has said to me, because I told her I was going to the newspaper and she said, please just don't make this a distraction, basically was like, please just don't let this like pull away from the work that we're actually doing. I promise you, I'm finna say what I'm about to say and then I'm done saying what I gotta say, right? So now here comes some lady in my inbox talking about she an investigative reporter and she looking at, girl, I don't know who you are, but let me go over here to your page and see who you are and how you move so that I can, because I don't know who you are, ma'am. I don't know nothing about you. Go ahead.
So, as all of this is happening, right, I'm waiting for the green light for the interview. And there are things that are happening with the school board. I then uncover that the school district is in a severe financial situation, that they really didn't disclose to the community what was happening. And so then there were a lot of eyeballs as it relates to my content and what I was sharing, because not only was I telling people like, hey, y'all paying attention to what these school board members are doing, because I don't think that they're paying attention to what they're doing, and posting the receipts of the financial records. And when buildings were closed down for COVID, that they lied and said that they weren't closed. Just all the different things that the district did that they wanted to paint a narrative in the public that was completely different when the surveillance cameras were telling me something different. And again, for clarification, I said it in the last episode, but I'm also going to say it again for the new people that are joining. Surveillance cameras are people that are telling me things that sometimes they don't necessarily want to be disclosed as far as their identity, but they are on the inside. They are aware of what's happening. So, for example, the viral situation with Karen Savage, I would not have known about that situation, but for their surveillance cameras bringing it to my attention. I would not know her Microsoft Teams status if the surveillance cameras weren't looking at her Microsoft Teams profile with the district to let me know that. So these people are very vital in the work that I do. And that's why clearing my name and having credibility and having honor to my name is important, because that trust factor is important when people are reaching out to me for things. They want to reach out to someone that they trust. And so this is why I'm such a big advocate for my name, which is another story for another day. So I go and Kimberlyn finally is like, okay, let's do this. So I'm ready. I'm ready to go. We set a date. We set a time. I made a flyer, posted that bad boy, and we was in business.
So hold on. Before we get into that, so let me give context as to why I finally said yes. And so at the beginning of that school year, after all that work that we had done, we earned our C, and now we're maintaining, right? And so in the 2019 school year, so what is this? 2018, 2019, I met Elbot. And if you don't know who Elbot is, you got to watch my things. But I met Elbot and we were going to get married. And so I ended the 18-19 school year knowing that the 19-20 school year was going to be my last school year in Hillsborough County. I was leaving. I was moving up north to be with Elbot. Okay. We wound up not getting married. And what was happening at the school at the time is, like, once we came back for the 19-20 school year, we had a new administrator, a new AP who was not doing things properly. And like, I'm telling people things like, we probably want to look out for this and that. They're not valuing nothing I got to say. And so I had a conversation with myself, like, why am I still here? And also, Phelan Leadership Academy is the same Phelan that I told y'all that was going to take over the schools. They had taken over some of the schools. They just didn't take over Memorial. So Phelan had reached out to me and said, will you come and work with us? Initially, I said no, because I had already said the 19-20 school year was going to be my last school year. I had my girls that were looking to be a part of the mentoring program. Like, I can't leave my girls. Like, you know, we good. No, I'm not doing it. When I'm at the school and I'm seeing the chaos and disarray and we got a new population of kids and it's just a whole lot of shit that's happening, I said, you know what? Let me just go ahead on and go over to work with Phelan. Okay. So once I made the decision, my last day with the school district was November 8th of 2019. Once I made that decision to say I was leaving, something else had happened with Tammy Schamberger. I made a comment on Bianca's page about it. And Bianca said, this is why I was wanting to talk to you about her. So then because I had finally left the school district, I said, okay, well, we can talk now because I'm actually gone from the school district. Okay. So interview gets scheduled. The interview is scheduled for the Friday before Thanksgiving this in 2019, whatever date that is. I want to say maybe the 23rd or 24th or something like that. But whatever the Friday before Thanksgiving was, that was the day that the interview was scheduled. Now, I started with Phelan the Monday of that week. Okay, so I left on November 8th. I want to say I took a couple weeks off. And so the Monday, the Monday through Friday, I'm working. I'm meeting people. They onboard me. I'm getting all the things together, right? The Friday, the day of the interview, we have a meeting with the people who are in charge at Phelan. And they say to me in the meeting, Kimberlyn, I am so happy that you are here. Our Florida team is complete. We have heard nothing but amazing things about you, because I'm coming in as the math and science expert. But also remember all this stuff I told you. I work in professional development. I've been a mentor. I've been at these schools. Even as Bianca is talking about Jennings, I mentored at Jennings. I know very well how toxic the culture was at Jennings because I mentored there. So like, I have all of this context about this school district. Who else y'all gonna ask to do this? Like, of course you're asking me, right? And so they're so excited. Kimberlyn, we're so happy that you're here. This is so wonderful. Everybody meet Kimberlyn. The team is complete. Everything's so great. All of that. I leave that meeting. It was at the ISC on 40th. I leave that meeting. That evening, I have the interview with Bianca.
I look back on it, and it's public. It's publicly posted. It's still available, so you can see it. But looking back, I felt like I could have did things a bit different. I definitely wore a wig and had my coat, and I, because of how I felt about Tammy, based on the things that had happened, on top of the things that she had did to you, I went in ways that when I look back on it, I don't regret it, but I also feel like, just reflection, I could have done it a different way. But it happened. And boy, oh boy, after it happened, baby, okay, after the interview, I go to a community event and Tammy pulls up, and it is a whole scene because now she is yelling at me, saying that I have embarrassed her and caused a scene, and I am dividing the community, when the only thing I was doing was getting receipts and asking clarifying questions. And, you know, it became a thing where the tensions were real, real high between me and Tammy Schamburger, and also any people that were closely joint with her. And that's what started all of the campaigns and attacks, because those individuals were also connected to other organizations. I'm going to clarify exactly who I'm talking about in just a moment. I just wanted to just brush that little brush right there. Okay. And as I'm talking about this, Kimberlyn, and as I'm processing this in real time, I know for sure that this episode is going to have to be in two parts, because there's just no way. But also, too, I get very emotional because there are some things that I have completely disassociated from and haven't fully processed and gone through that. And because of this month being what it is, a lot of it is coming back in a way that I didn't expect. And what you are seeing is my brain spin real fast in real time, knowing that we live, knowing that people are watching, knowing that I need to be very intentional with what I got to say. Also at the same time, the shit that I personally, me, was put through to advocate for children was wild, inappropriate, ineffective. Jesus, God, I can't even talk. That's how frustrated and triggered that I feel like I am right now. Like, I feel like,
so let me, is it helpful for you to take a moment to breathe? And then yes. I kind of give some, okay, additional context. So we already talked about the interview happened this Friday before Thanksgiving. And so I shared the 22 pages of screenshots. As Bianca said, the next day she goes to a community event where Tammy Schamburger pulls up on her and goes off and says the things. Bianca then calls me and she's like, girl, now mind you, we're not necessarily friends at this point. Like, we're not friends at all at this point, honestly. She's somebody I talked to in preparation for the interview. We're having the interview and now, you know, we have each other's number, but she's messaging me and she's like, girl, I went to this event and Tammy pulled up and like, this is crazy. And I'm like, wow, like, I don't really know what to say about that, right? So that's Saturday. Sunday, I don't remember if anything happened that Sunday, but that Monday, now this is now the Monday before Thanksgiving in 2019. So that Monday, I get a call. Now, we're not working, we being Phelan, we're not working in schools, but we're working remotely because the schools are out because it's Thanksgiving, right? So I'm waking up and I'm saying to myself, I need to set up my printer. I need to like get my home office together, you know, and make sure I got the things ready because we ready to hit the ground running when we come back from Thanksgiving, baby. I'm ready to get these things executed because I do this. I know what I'm doing. Like, let's go. So that Monday, I get a phone call about 10 a.m. that I'm expecting because I'm supposed to be onboarding for the medical insurance and all that kind of thing. So I get a phone call and it's two people from the company. And, you know, they say this is so-and-so and I got such and such on the line. And I said, okay, you know, how you doing? So she said, you have a clause in your contract that states that we can release you with or without notice or with or without cause. We're going to exercise that clause today. And I said, I'm sorry, what? You have a clause in your contract that states that we can release you with or without notice or with or without cause. So we're going to exercise that clause today. I'm sorry, what? Are you, what? You're saying that I did, that there is a cause or there's, and you're not telling me or there's not a, what? You have a clause in your contract that states that we could release you with or without notice or without cause. We're going to exercise that clause today. Today will be your last day. You receive your last paycheck on Friday. We wish you the best in the future. And hangs up. So then I call Bianca and I'm like, I think I just got fired.
And I'm completely devastated at this point because I am like, that's her job. And then I associated fault and blame for that. I felt that I was responsible because had you not had that interview with me, you would probably still have a job. And I held that in for so long, feeling guilty about that and knowing that my actions as it relates to holding the interview for you to share your truth and to share the screenshots and your experience, that wasn't the catalyst. It was Tammy Schamburger that used her power and influence to manage a contract that she had power and control of, which is technically illegal, which shouldn't have happened. And I felt like I was like, damn, okay, I wrote my op-ed. Now I'm getting all this blowback from that. I had Black people telling me that I was leaving my kids. Then I had the district be like, oh, well, she can't teach no way because she didn't pass the test, as if passing the test was going to be something that made a difference. I could have took it again. But also the pass rate, by the way, for the test is 53%. It's actually a money grab for the educators, but that's a whole nother conversation. We'll have to circle back on that later. And then after being retaliated against, talked down on because I'm sharing what's happening in the classroom and people deciding what my quote unquote value is as an educator because of my years of experience, not knowing the historical context of where I came from before I even entered the classroom. It was wild, but also people don't know my story. The people in Tampa didn't know me. I just moved to Tampa. But boy, did I learn the people that say they are the community leaders of Tampa. And then it makes me realize now, 7 years later, that some of those same people have control, are in power, and then look at what the community is now. I felt bad after the interview. So when she called me, I was like, shit, what to do? So at the time, I had told my then ex-wife, who was, you know, she's an attorney. And so I was like, hey, like, we got to do something for her because she has lost her livelihood. She's lost her job. I don't know what her financial situation looks like. I don't know what that is, but I know that she interviewed with me. She doesn't have a job anymore. I'm going to make sure I raise hell about Tammy, but what can we do in order to help in this situation? Because again, I felt I was responsible for it, although it wasn't my responsibility, but I'm 10. That's how I felt. So, she was like, okay, so I'll represent her and we will, talk to the school board and the people about the matter. And okay. So she said that she was going to handle it. I trusted her at her word that she was going to do what she said she was going to do, which I come to find out later that she then gets another attorney that's involved and they are supposed to working something out and the ball gets dropped. All the way. Like, so now I'm upset because the ball is dropped on this. And now what are you going to do? So, this is when, You became a radio star on WTMP, and I want to open that door because WTMP was a radio station where I had my own radio show. It wasn't at the time slot where she went on the show, but there's a particular morning show that's in Tampa that's still going, although it's not on the radio. And that was an interesting experience. So I feel like we should unpack it, particularly because, like I said, I feel like this is going to be a multiple part. There needs to be clips to it because I'm still unpacking things as we're having this active conversation right now in the present.
Yeah, this is a full on. When I tell y'all, I can't wait until we put it out in whatever form, you know, that is going to be for to like really, really talk about how these universes were birthed. So as Bianca said, her ex-wife was representing me and advising me legally. And so I started getting phone calls. And the phone calls were because the story was being amplified. You know, people have remembered what I had talked about back when the first articles were written and what I was doing and advocating for the kids. Like, and I say it, this is why I be telling people to go Google me, because I really need you to understand the imprint that Kimberlyn Jackson left in Hillsborough County Public Schools. Like, it is there. And so there were people who were like outraged, like, what? Kimberlyn, now Kimberlyn been doing right by them kids. You know, what is happening here? And so I'm getting opportunities to be able to tell my story. So I wind up going on to WTMP, What's Happening Now, which was hosted or is hosted. I don't know the current iteration. All these people are blocked. I'm going to just fast forward and say that. All right. But at the time, it was called, ain't that what it was called? What's Happening Now or something to that effect? Ain't that?
What's really happening?
TV show. Okay. What's really happening, hosted by Bishop Michelle B. Patty Child. And so she gets a hold of What's Happening. She invites me to go on the show. I go on the show with representation. I share what happens. That opens a whole shitstorm of things. This is how Elvis enters the picture, because he reaches out and asks me to come on his show, which I never went on his show. And I'm so grateful in hindsight that I did not. But he was tied up with Delia. And no, she got to get tied up and shit. And girl, let me get off of that. So anyway, girl, it's so much. I don't know what we're doing with this, but we really got to put this together, because this is a motherfucking crazy ass shit. This some crazy ass. Okay, so anyway. So people start calling me. I go on the radio station.
I told y'all she be cussing.
I definitely do. And this will make me cuss. Oh, this where I be cussing out, because this is some crazy shit. Like, just as Bianca's talking about, like, the process, and I'm also, like, re-remembering a lot of things and just how wild the things were. So anyway, I get to the radio station. Now things are getting amplified. People are calling me and offering positions, offering support, you know, offering money, like all that. I did not have a big savings fund. I had sold my house, but, you know, that money runs out. So I'm not knowing what I'm doing. And I'm very much getting to a place where I need every $5. And so I get a phone call from Reverend Danes down there at what it was called, the United Methodist. What's the name of the church?
Good old Allen Temple. AME.
That's what it's called. Allen Temple American Methodist Episcopal. And so I get a call from Reverend Dames, and he says, I have a check for you. This is New Year's Eve on 2019. I have a check for you. And, you know, you can come and pick it up down here to the church. So, again, I need every $5 I could get. So I get in my car. I get on down there to that church. As I'm walking in the door for the church, there's a white man dressed in a gray suit that's walking in front of me. He holds the door. I say, thank you so much. He goes and checks in the office. He goes wherever he's going. I goes and checks in the office. The lady tells me, wait a minute. Reverend Dames wants to talk to you. So no problem.
So I wait, I'm waiting patiently. And then Reverend Dames calls me in the office and he's basically trying to understand more about who I am. You know, I heard about your story down there on the radio and, you know, who are you? And so, you know, I'm sharing with him who I am, what I've done, what I do, who I am. He didn't know none of that. He didn't know nothing about Kimberly Jackson. He was like, well, damn, like you kind of in there. Okay. So he then says, you know, now mind you, I just came to pick up a check. I'm going through hard times. I got a head wrap on. I got on a denim jacket. I'm looking busted. I'm looking like I'm feeling. Okay. So he then says, I want to invite you to a meeting that, you know, we're about to have with somebody. I think that you would find it a very interesting, meeting to attend. I'm not prepared for no meeting, Reverend Sir. I literally just left out my house to do. Well, no, if it makes you feel better, I'll take off my coat. You know, my because you know, the pastors wear the pastor suit. You know, I take off my pastor coat, and you know, it's fine. I promise you, it's totally fine. So I'm like, okay, I'm willing to see what you're talking. All right. So we go upstairs, we get into a meeting room, and in this meeting room is that white man that I saw walk through that door. And then Bianca was in there. Now, mind you, I had not yet met Bianca in person, right? We had just talked only in the interview, and now she's been talking back and forth or whatever, but we ain't really been hanging out, right? So Bianca's in there. So Bianca looks up, she sees me, I see. So I was like, hi, right? So she's there. Shake Washington is there, who is a current school board member in Hillsborough County Public Schools. Oliver Thomas is there, who I believe what was a council member or was about to be or something. He was in politics. And Yvette Lewis was there, who is the current president and then president of the NAACP Hillsborough County chapter. These are the people that are in the room. Any context you want to give here?
For a correction of an individual's name that was in the room, Thomas Scott was in the room.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
So it was Thomas Scott and, again, Yvette Lewis, who was, at that time, the president of the NAACP. It is currently still the president of the NAACP and is on a time clock as it relates to my demand letter, which we'll get to later. All right. All right. Go ahead.
So come to find out in this meeting that has been called, this white man that in the gray suit that walked in the door is Addison Davis. Addison Davis wound up being the next superintendent of Hillsborough County Public Schools. The superintendent at the time was Jeff Eakins, and I believe Jeff was retiring, right? Isn't that what it was doing? So Jeff was retiring. Jeff had took over after Mary Ellen Elia. Okay, now when I started in 2006, Mary Ellen Elia was there. We had done the Gates Grant when I mentioned I was a mentor that was through the Gates Grant that we had. And Mary Ellen led through all that. Then they got rid of Mary Ellen. It was a whole scandal. It was a whole thing. They had to pay her out. It was a lot that was happening. It's part of the reason why the district was in this financial situation that you wound up uncovering, because they had to pay Mary Ellen out because they was trying to get out of whatever happened with Gates. I don't know the ins and outs of all that right now. So after Mary Ellen left, Jeff Eakins took over. Eakins is now retiring. So now they're looking for a superintendent. Okay. Addison Davis is one of the people, come to find out, is in the running for being superintendent. Now, at this time, they had not narrowed the list down. Like, they hadn't even done, like, the cuts and interviews and all that kind of stuff, right? So we're finding out while we're sitting in this room that he is somebody that Dames knew from back in the day, again, Duval County, Clay County, all that up there. They went to school together or something. I don't remember the ins and outs of how they knew each other. But they knew each other in some kind of way. And he was putting his hat in the ring to be the next superintendent for Hillsborough County Public Schools. So now we have a conversation in this room about the different things that he needs to be aware of, or different, not even what he needs to be aware of, but just what are the different concerns that we have as constituents here in Hillsborough County in regards to the activism and advocacy work that we've done in different ways and situations or whatever, and then giving Addison Davis an opportunity to take note or to respond or share what he's thinking or what have you.
I
any additional context.
Yep, in that room. Let me tell you something, okay? This is why you have to make sure you are intentional with your representation, because the Hillsboro president of the NAACP looked that man dead in his face and called him the C word, the cracker, called him a cracker, and said that she do not vote for white Republicans. When I tell you Yvette Lewis was so ignorant, and that was my first time having a sit down conversation and seeing how she represents the NAACP. I have heard about her. And when my situation happened with the school district, someone suggested that I reach out to the NAACP. It is important that we have leadership in position that's going to truly represent the people, because the fact that the president of the NAACP in Hillsboro sat in that room and called that man a cracker and said that she would not vote for a white Republican in that meeting was disrespectful, out of order. And I don't know why we don't have new leadership for the NAACP in Hillsboro, but I'm going to stay in my continent, girl. I'm going to stay where I'm at, because clearly I just need to stay where I'm at, because I don't know nothing. But the meeting was interesting. And because we were in that room and because certain people had access and other people didn't have access, that was one of the biggest contentious things that had ever happened. Everybody that was in that room, whether they supported Addison or not, was a target. And it was labeled that this was an inside job, that we were trying to ensure that the good old boy system continued, and we was going to allow Addy Daddy to come in there and to do all the different things in the district. And that's not what happened. At least I can speak for me. That's not what happened. So,
yeah. I was going to add context. I'm telling y'all what our understanding of or what was happening when we was walking in there. So I didn't even know who this man was. And I found out as we were in there. I also didn't know who Yvette Lewis was. The only people I knew in the room knew of was Bianca and Shake. And outside of that, this is my first time. That's why I didn't even remember the man's name. Like, this is my first time meeting these people. Like, that was my first time meeting Danes. That was my first experience with Yvette Lewis. What's his name? Thomas Scott. That was my first experience with him. Shake.
That's wild.
And I had known who Shake was and had interactions with him because Candace, who is one of my friends in Tampa, had been around a lot, was an athlete. So Shake had wound up coming up to the school and Candace introduced me to him and like all of that. But like, I ain't even know Shake like that. I had just met you in the interview and you know, all of that the month prior. So it's like, I'm just figuring things out as I'm sitting here. I will definitely say what's interesting is that I do believe that broken clocks are right twice a day. And I do believe that Yvette Lewis did call Addison Davis right in what that he is a Republican, and the way that he votes and the way that he moves and the way that he acts ultimately wound up aligning with that. In the end, it was very much though shocking and off-putting that the way that communication was happening in that space, I was not prepared for any of that. And I was very much like, whoa, this is the president. Okay, all right. And then to underscore that, after the whole meeting happened, right, because somebody had reached out to her also on my behalf about what had happened to me. That's the whole reason I'm in the room, about what had happened to me. She never, ever, ever, ever followed up, gave any type of support, any type of anything in regards to my situation. She gave me some platitudes as we were all there, basically like, oh, that's messed up. What had happened, huh? But she did not do anything to help or support me as the president of the NAACP as I'm sitting in this situation, okay? All right. So the meeting happens, as Bianca said, it was a lot of pushback and a lot of shit that popped up because of that. And people was mad that they wasn't in the room. People definitely being Tammy Shamberger, but among others, they were very upset that they were not in the room. And we ain't have nothing to do with the invite list. Okay. So, oh, Lord. So I don't know where we condense things here is maybe like, is this the cliffhanger that we leave people with? Because then what ensued from that point was the superintendent search. And the superintendent search became a platform for you, and it became Teaching for the Culture took on its life in school board and superintendent and, you know, all of that. So how do we want to, do we make that the part two and then we kind of go from there? Like, how do we want to kind of bring this part to a pause?
Ooh, yeah. So I do think that having the part after the superintendent search and the creation of what people know as Morning Tea and Allegations in particular, I think that part two would be a great segue and to make sure we clean up and clear up all the things in the beginning that we might not or had missed prior to. So a couple of things that come to mind for me is that I wanted to uplift. I am actively still processing the things that occurred during that season of me working in the classroom and then right after my op-ed. Something that I do want to uplift to individuals that when people are sharing their story, you know, I find it so hard when people decide how they receive it. And let me add more words to that. When I wrote my op-ed, there were people that took my stance of I'm quitting teaching to meaning I'm quitting advocating for students or I'm quitting supporting students. And that was a narrative that I had to fight, it feels like, for so long, to where this month I was like, and 7 years later, I'm still fighting for the kids. Where are you? Because there are some people that had so much to say back then. And then you look at where they are now, church mouse quiet. Being an advocate is tough. Advocating for people is tough, to the point where I had to put a pause on all of that to advocate for myself. That's how bad it got. So, yeah, I can't wait to tell y'all about the creation of Morning Tea Allegations. It's still an active show. We're on season 4. It's so many changes and iterations that have happened from season 1 to season 4, but by golly, it is a treat. It is information for you to receive. And I'm in my little teddy bear cute snuggie over there, too. I'm just in the snitch layer. I'm not in the clouds and in heaven like I am over here. I'm most definitely in the cave, you know, and I feel like in some points of this, I do, you know, show up in the cave. But girl, Kimberlyn, like, what the hell? Like, let me play that sound effect. What the hell? Advocating for children, bro. All of that. Every name but a child of God. Just trying to do right. Mm-hmm. And you still got people in the positions today. Ain't doing a damn thing but causing controversy.
What the hell? Oh my God. No way.
So, yeah, for those of you that wanted to know how me and Kimberlyn met, is because I was searching for her. I was looking for her, and I found her. And once I found her, I ain't let her go yet. We ain't letting her, ain't no yet. I ain't let her go. She right here. She locked up now. We might not talk every day, damn it, but damn sure she know how to find me.
So, I feel like it was something I wanted to add a context to before we... Oh, so we'll pick up in part two of this. I don't know how many parts it's going to be, y'all, because it's been a lot. So, because it's also bleeding into the present, because all of this shit is coming back up. And so I wanted to bring us back to the transparency moment. And if there is anything that you wanted to share... in regard to what is happening in the right now, and then we'll have to go back and fill in. Like, y'all have to go back and understand how we got here, and we'll do that. But simultaneously, things are happening right now in the present day, here and now, because of everything that we're talking about. So what do you want to uplift in regards to what's happening currently?
How much time I got?
I mean, 30 minutes? Will that do?
Oh God. Yeah. Oh. Jeez. All right, y'all. I told y'all to buckle up at the beginning of the show, so here we go. Okay. So I was telling you about...
So you had alluded... I'm sorry. You had alluded to Karen Savage, so I don't know if you want to start there or like... Because I don't remember... In our last episode, did we talk about Karen Savage? I don't think that had happened yet. I feel like that was last week when we were catching
up. That happened last week.
So so you want to start there maybe? Because that opened the door, I think, for everything that's happening now.
Okay. So surveillance cameras, I love them. And there was an incident that took place where a educator by the name of Karen Savage, I will never forget her name. Okay. Karen Savage decided that she wanted to get a black baby doll, wrap the baby doll in a cord by the neck, and throw it over the TV. And the doll was just hanging on the classroom TV. Karen Savage says, and I don't know who she said it to, but it was in the paper, in the media, that states that she said it to get the children's attention. I don't know how or why or the context of that, but it, that was what was stated in the media. So that's what I'm going to say. But I attempted to reach out to Karen Savage myself because I like to go to the source. She ended up not responding to me and then subsequently removing her social media presence. So she doesn't have a Facebook account currently. So, or Instagram. She got rid of most of her socials at this point. So I was sent the video from the parent, Nina, who posted it and was like, this is what my child sent me that happened in my child's classroom. So, of course, there were people that tagged me in the actual post and also sent it in my inbox. So I saw it and I said, WTF. Immediately.
So the incident occurred at Barrington Middle School, which is a middle school that is in a suburb of Tampa called Lithia. But it is a school, again, that I have definitely walked the halls of, in a school that was in the school district that we're talking about. We've done all this advocacy work in. Okay.
So after seeing the video and hearing the conversations, I then reach out to mom. And then I was able to communicate with mom to get context as it relates to the things that were happening. I don't know why Karen did what she did, but what she did set a very viral moment for the school district and opened the door for all of the conversations that were had previously as it relates to race relations in the school district and just the number of educators that are not in alignment with the actual population that they serve is one of those key conversations that we will have to continue to uplift because the math ain't mathin'. And clearly there's a problem. So as a result, I went to social media to amplify the issue, and that went viral. Teaching for the Culture right now, analytics-wise, we are around 6.3, 6.4 million that are viewing the content, viewing the page. And I can't even sign in on that side of Teaching for the Culture because of how many comments that are happening, that the notifications, it's very overwhelming at this present moment. So it's overwhelming on the Facebook side of things and on Instagram, believe it or not, although I never really was very active in Instagram or hell, Facebook. There was a hiatus that Teaching for the Culture had for a multitude of reasons, but that opened the door for a lot of different things to occur. So as a result, I called school board members, got the information, again, talked to mom, talked to the key people involved to be like, okay, so like what's happening? Let me report on the issue. And that's what I was doing. For those of you that are in my Patreon space, you have a lot more information than other people do because that's where I put it. And in that, I wrote several articles, posted some things that were shared and whatnot. And ultimately, Karen was fired, which was an interesting way of how they handled it, because historically, I've dealt with a case like this before with Chuck Henderson. The school board members in that particular case said that everything was fake, that he didn't say that, and then later found out that that actually wasn't true. So then being like, school board members, why are you saying that something is not true when it actually is? And why are you trying to defend this man without completing an independent investigation? So most people thought that this would have been swept under the rug, that Karen Savage would still have a job, that she was able to just walk free from this particular situation. But because of the calls and the demands, and because of how viral this particular incident went, it did compel the district to act and act quickly. And they did. Now I'm still waiting on the actual records and the receipts to figure out what they did put on the HR code as it relates to her reason for leaving, because they could have said that they terminated her, but then had it to where she resigned and she still gets her pension and not, like, there's a lot of different questions as it relates to what codes were put into the system. So that's something that I'm actively working on and waiting to get follow up on. But the Karen Savage case allowed more visibility into the work that Teaching for the Culture does, and then me personally. As a result, I created an accountability tour, and that has opened the floodgates to a bunch of different things at one time. I'm not sure, Kimberlyn, all that you have seen. I know that you shared that you don't see a lot of things in those spaces, but I do know that you had mentioned about the analytics of Teaching for the Culture. So I know that you saw that. But I also don't know what you saw or didn't see and all of that good stuff. So if there's clarifying questions as it relates to that or something that you want to know, the best thing to do is to ask me a question, just the way that my brain space is currently active right now.
Yeah, I saw the post where it where you had showed the analytics. I can also imagine that there are lots of notifications and things that are happening. I have not really been on Facebook. When I do log into Facebook, my notifications are primarily about Teaching for the Culture. And so I haven't gone over there to like open a whole bunch of things. I feel like I was getting the context of what was going on in those early days. And then I kind of had to shift and haven't been back down to Facebook. And so I heard you say you haven't gotten public records requests back or anything in regard to coding with Karen Savage. I think my questions right now are probably in regard to the accountability tour and what and how that is manifesting, if you will. So I haven't had a chance to watch any accountability tour videos. And so I don't know if there are particular, because again, kind of like I was talking about this morning, like there's this singular situation, but so many things are like coming out of that. So I know there's stuff in regards to, you know, you being asked to sign an NDA. There's stuff in regards to the NAACP and them being held accountable. There's stuff in regards to the school district being held accountable. There's like, I don't know what all is happening. I just know that things are happening in those spaces, for example.
Okay, so the NDA reference. So that conversation was in a comment of a post that I made. Okay, so for the post that I made in that, when I left Tampa, Hillsborough County, Pinellas County, when I left the Tampa Bay community, it was due to the fact that me and my ex-wife separated, and it was on a very traumatic situation. And I have had to do so much to be where I am today. And a lot of that healing and talking about that has been this actual program. This was one of the only programs that I had up while that was happening. Everything else I shut down because I couldn't do it. I didn't have the capacity. So I wrote in the accountability tour regarding the NDA, since that was brought up, I made a post in regards to my ex-wife, because after I left, there were people that were asking where I was, and they didn't necessarily see the disassociation post. In fact, there were certain times where Michelle would wear a ring on her ring finger as if she was still married, and that wasn't the case. And so people were asking where I was, and as things come out to light, it was shared that some of the things that Michelle was saying was very damaging, very hurtful, very wrong, particularly knowing how she violated me. And that was a point where I was like, I need to make sure on this accountability tour, as I'm clearing my name, which the NAACP comes up in that in just a moment, I wanted to make sure that people understood that when I made my disassociation post, that was mild in the things that I could have said. And instead of my ex-wife going on the internet saying that I was slandering her, which I didn't, again, very mild in what I could say, I felt that it was very disingenuous to go out into the community and to these spaces where she would be on podcasts and talking about her previous relations and talk about me in ways that were not true, damaging, and hurtful because she didn't want to be accountable for her actions and what she did. And I wanted to set the record straight because I felt that during this season and this time where I was away, there were people that had made choices in what side that they wanted to be on. And some people picked the side of my abuser. And now, as the visibility is on me with Karen Savage and people like, oh my gosh, Bianca, thank you for advocating for children the way that you do and all of that. I also had to make a PSA announcement that if you haven't been in my village or even in my space, please stay where you're at, because there were times where you could have been there. You could have reached out. You would have access to my phone number. Now that I've stripped a lot of that now, there are very intentional ways that you have to go through in order to get in touch with me. And again, it's public. You can go to my website, www.biancagoolsby.com, but that's the process. And so the accountability tour is me clearing my name. So I started with the Hillsborough NAACP. That's where I started. And I started because during a Karen Savage situation, I was asking school board members and people of influence, where's the NAACP as it relates to this? Where's their statement? What are they doing? And at the time, they didn't make a statement. And the reason being is because they get free rent from the school district. And my question still remains, how can you be a watchdog of a school district when you financially benefit from it? I've called and researched other chapters of NAACP, and there's no other chapter that I've talked to yet that has an agreement with the school district where they get free rent. Then in the agreement that they have with the school district, there are some vague terms in there that need to be defined and explained to the community, because it makes it seem as though the district is locking the NAACP, being you have to be on our side first. That's what it looks like to me. So there needs to be more eyes on that. And my accountability in that is, one, I need the NAACP to be accountable for the things happening with the school district, because while there's so many people talking about Karen Savage and this doll hanging, this is the same school district that led the state in our school to prison pipeline. This is the same district where over 73% of our children are not proficient in reading. This is the same district that has the most underperforming schools in the state. This is the same school district that several times different leaders were trying to take over the school. This is a school district, again, that has the most underperformance in the state of Florida, being the seventh largest school district in the nation. This is very serious. So we can't have people silent, and we can't have agreements where people can't hold institutions and systems accountable because you want to get free rent and you want to decorate and paint the place all night so that you can sit on these Zoom meetings with the paraphernalia of the NAACP saying you doing something that you ain't. Because how dare her go on the news media and act like she was lockstep with Nina and supporting Nina until it became a viral situation? How dare she act like she's been out here fighting when there are so many parents out here saying, I reached out to the NAACP. Hell, you said you reached out to the NAACP about your situation and didn't get help and things resolved. And I'm not saying that the NAACP in Hillsborough County is supposed to fix every single thing that's going on. I'm not saying that. They don't have the capacity to. But what I am saying is that we can't just go from getting on the media to just because I want to be on the media. What's happening before the media, though? Because she didn't call school board members before she got on the media is what I'm saying. So if you really cared about Nina and her child, if you really cared about the situation, the least you would have did was pick up the phone and talk to the key people who are dealing with the situation instead of going on the news talking about some lynching and black people. And you don't even know what even happened. So with the NAACP, when I was telling y'all earlier that I was retaliated against, the NAACP of Hillsborough was the catalyst of my retaliation. I was informed by the school district that the Hillsborough branch of the NAACP requested my personnel record. And they requested my personnel record, and that's fine. Public information. You can request my records. Fine. But what is not fine is that my information then was publicly posted on a fake Facebook page to dox me. My personnel record had my Social Security card. It had my I-9. It had my references. It had personal information in there. It's my personal record. It's public, but it's personal. Okay. I didn't consent for my information to be published on a fake Facebook page that has been used to harass and to cyber stalk and to cause harm for years. Okay. This fake page has been around for over 5 years now. And it was 2020. It was when I started morning tea and allegations. Then that's when the pages started. And it was not just one, it was multiple. And I was called everything but a child of God on those pages. And after doing internet research and being like, okay, who is over this? Come to find out, surveillance cameras telling me that it's Cato Nord Hodges. Cato Nord Hodges, who serves on the NAACP. Cato Nord Hodges, who was working on school board member Tamara Schamberger's campaign. So you see how it comes full circle. Cato Nord Hodges was upset with me when I went to the receipts, it was literally a week later after I posted about Tammy using district employees to run her campaign during school time in violation of the policy. It wasn't even about Cato. It was about Tammy because Tammy knew better because Tammy shouldn't be having teachers working on their campaign. Working on her campaign when they need to be educating our children in the classroom. So I pulled up his metadata from the school district. They gave me all the websites and the places that he was on during school time. Okay. Now, I didn't publicly post that. I put it in my receipt book, meaning that you had to have a certain level of access to have it. But all the websites that that man was on, so he was managing her Twitter. He was managing the NAACP's account. I guess he was a driver for Lyft or Uber, one of them, because he was checking the earnings on, I think it was Uber, checking the earnings for Uber. Like, it was a bunch of just different things that he was doing that I saw because they gave me the record so I could see. And that put two and two together of, yes, actually, he is doing campaign work during school time because it shows me the timestamps of what websites he's visiting. And he is clearly doing campaign work during school hours. After I made that post is when shit went left real bad as it relates to cyber harassment. So then it became, oh, well, Bianca, you're just receiving what you dish out. And it's like, I guess you see it that way, but I'm saying it with my name and my face. I'm not hiding behind privacy settings, saying the things. And I'm also saying things with receipts. Cato would take part of a situation and make a completely different narrative that suited him. So as I'm going through a very traumatic divorce, as I'm going through having heart surgery, do you know Cato Nora Hodges made post about me having to have heart surgery, made post about me and my ex-wife, make post about all the different things that was happening in my life. And I wasn't even advocating for children as hard as I was then because I was just trying to survive. So I am holding the NAACP of Hillsborough accountable because they requested my personnel records. And my question is, how did my personnel information and also legal correspondence that wasn't public record, which was the nail in the coffin, which is in the song. I made a song about this situation too. So when then you post the cease and desist letter that my attorney sent, which is not public record, it's an inside job. It's inside the NAACP because that's the only place that letter went. That letter was mailed to Joe Robinson when he slandered me on the radio and he was talking about me being a disgruntled teacher. Why would somebody in the organization say that when they're advocating for children and sharing their work conditions? What benefit was it, the NAACP, to try to paint me as somebody not credible saying the things about the school district? Unless they're profiting from the problem. Ding, 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 ding. So again, I'm asking community members, okay, are you happy with your representation? I don't know, but I'm asking for accountability as my personnel record was requested from the Hillsborough branch of NAACP that was then published on a fake Facebook page that was used to harass and to torment and to cause chaos and controversy in my life for years. Someone is going to be held accountable to that. And who I look to? The president of the NAACP of the Hillsborough branch, Yvette Lewis. Why? Because she need to have control of her officers and what they do. In that, I was like, well, since we're hearing this accountability tour and we saying the things, let's just say it all. Why don't we? We got the eyeballs and the people. Let's just say it all. So I was like, all right, so Hillsborough, you up. All right. Michelle, in the way you lying about me and then weaponizing policy. So I posted and shared how Michelle violated me. I had shared that she cheated on me with the lobbyist and had unprotected sex. I think I had said here on Life Unfiltered that she took a plan B and was laughing in the group chat about it. I think I was that vulnerable to share all of that. You know how embarrassing that is? One, to be cheated on with a man. Okay, so let's just, that's ego and pride. So that's one. Two, you did it unprotected and you didn't give me you didn't give me consent. That's assault. And three, after all of that happens, you go in the community and you lie about me? Still? You still throwing shade on the internet about me after that? Wow. So now I just see Michelle as another elected official with a receipt book. So had to clear the air on that, make sure everybody was set in that. And the piece today. So what's getting ready to happen after we conclude our recording is as it relates to Shauna Brown, because today marks 1 year, as I said earlier, about this trademark dispute. And I have a way that I'm laying this out so good and pretty, Kimberlyn. I got a teleprompter that I'm gonna have set up so I can have everything organized with what I say so that I'm not emotionally charged as I am currently talking about this. So I can paint the clear picture of how there were attempts to resolve this before we got here and how she continues to use this. And she hides behind buying a Meta verification badge and making her page private because people been sliding in them comments and all of that on her page. So what's happening with me right now is I'm on an accountability tour. And that means that it's even holding myself accountable to, holding myself accountable for the things that I've let happen, the things that I have done and said, and really reflective on how I want to move forward in this new season that I feel like I'm entering in right now, and really leveraging that and harnessing that and staying true and focused to that. And anyone that gets in my way of that path, I don't have anything nice to say about it. I don't. So I have did my PSAs to tell people that if you moved funny after me and my ex-wife got divorced, where you was real close to me when we were married, and then now we're not married anymore, and I didn't hear from you. Also, I don't want to hear from you now. Respectfully. And there were people that actually came back and apologized for their participation and the harm towards me. And that made me feel good. That made me feel validated and seen. There's some screenshots I need to share with you and send to you, Kimberlyn. I feel good in that. But also, don't do it behind my inbox, though. Don't do that publicly, too. Why don't you? Because as I was being talked about and my name was being painted in this way, that I was out here being an abuser, a narcissist, all these different terms and things that were used. Listen, when I tell you God is so good that I am in a different season in my life and I know where my limits are, and I'm not going to elevate my heart rate, and I'm not going to allow what happened again to happen again. So in that too, I've been protecting my peace, segmenting the things because it's a lot in my world right now. It's clearing my name. It is setting the record straight so that I feel like I can move forward. This is for me. This ain't for anybody else. This is for me to make sure that people know that playing with my name is expensive. Just like my song and my album, the oil is expensive. People see this smile and the light that I shine and the glow that I bring to people's world and have no idea how expensive this oil is, have no idea how much I had to fight taking antidepressants, feeling like I couldn't be in the world anymore, not knowing who I was. I had to strip my whole identity. I was the first lady of District 62. I took my role seriously in the community and had to change my entire identity. And while all of that was happening, my ex-wife is laughing at my pain. She is dancing on my grief. And that's unacceptable. And like I said, character is on the ballot. So what's funny, before all of this, you know, I was doing design work for Fentress, her opponent. Well, guess what? Anything that Fentress needs to get across the finish line, she got. She got. No words. She don't know it yet, but I please believe she got it. Because what I will do is make sure that I'm going to make sure people know about this. And I'm going to make sure that we are. Kimberlyn, I'm so triggered. I'm about to blow some bubbles and be quiet. All I'm going to say is before I blow these bubbles is I have asked God. God, if you are listening and if you are real, I need people that have caused so much harm in my life to be accountable to the things that they have done. Otherwise, I'm having a hard time understanding how I am your child and I'm supposed to follow these rules, and these people out here aren't operating in your will and are able to get away with the things and the harm and the trauma that they have caused. Enough of that. We are seeing our world burn to the ground and we are seeing things happen, and people have said indirectly, Black people, we got to stop fighting Black people. We have to work together. It's too much at stake. And like I said in my PSA, and like I will say here, in every movement, we learned a very valuable lesson. A very valuable lesson that all skin folk and kin folk, and everyone needs to be held accountable, including me. That's the part, too, that I don't think people see, too. Also me. I am holding myself accountable to the failures that I have made. I am holding myself accountable to the mistakes that I have made. I have to live with that and I have to deal with that. And I am actively working through my shit. So as I am talking about other shit, also know that I'm working on my shit. And just because I'm talking about that shit don't mean that you could come in my comment section telling me what I can or cannot talk about. That gets shut down real quick. So I hope that people continue to buckle up, Kimberlyn, because I don't know when the next moment I'm going to say something and do something. When I tell you, I get these messages of like, this is it. Go. Do. And that's what I've literally been doing. This might be a selfish statement and I will accept that in this moment. But right now in this time, I'm only thinking about me. For the first time in a very long time of just thinking about me. And I'm thankful that I have a supportive partner that is lockstep with the things that I need and support me in that. But when I tell you this accountability tour, this is about me. And I don't know what is going to be the end of it. But as you were saying earlier, of just being present in it, that's where I'm at. Just being present in it.
Yeah, I appreciate and we collectively appreciate you sharing that. And I think it's important for everyone to know that that's not even the half of the things, you know, that have been going on. I definitely do believe that this is a season of accountability. I do not know what that looks like. And so I think that accountability can come in many forms. And I think it is our job to allow that to be present and usher that in while also keeping the space and prioritizing the space for you to think about yourself and the things that you need to do to feel grounded and stabilized and restored after so much harm has been caused. You know, it definitely is a situation of PTSD from this time period that we're talking about. It definitely goes very deep and got very dark. So I think that's important to hold space for in all of this and to give yourself the opportunity to process it as it comes up and, you know, in the ways that make the most sense for you so that you are able to allow some of those areas to experience the healing that you deserve to be able to have in those areas. And I do believe that accountability is coming in here. And I do think it's probably at some point more social justice sometimes than it is reparations, if you will, or things like that. But one thing I appreciate is that when you said you hear something that says now, or you need to say this or what have you, none of this in today, none of this ever was something that either of us were looking for. Like we were literally like, I want to help children was literally the anchor and cornerstone for everything. God, I believe, uses situations to be able to create the conditions for us to be made whole. And I do believe that those situations are being orchestrated right now and used right now to be able to give us the ability to be made whole. Because even from you talking about the way that the ball was dropped, from what happened to me to what happened to you, the retaliations, the people, like, this goes so far that I don't, y'all really don't even know how far it goes, and across how many states and school districts, and how that then followed into Pennsylvania, which then followed into me leaving the U.S., which then followed. Like, there's a lot that came out of this. And so I want to appreciate you all holding space for this and receiving our recounting of how we met and how our universes collided in a way to say we are going to take a stand about what is right for children and what is right for our people, because unfortunately there are people who look like us who are actively working against the betterment for our children and for our people. And it is our responsibility to call out people who are harmful, no matter what color skin that they might live in. It is unfortunate when they live in skin that looks like ours, because we would hope that as people and children of the diaspora, as Black Americans, as people who supposedly on the outside have a common cause, that we would be able to work together. Unfortunately, when you start to follow the money and follow the contracts and follow the things that people are aligned with, you recognize and realize that everybody ain't on that. Okay. So one thing that is important for y'all to know is over here in this world, in the Heal That Shit universe, in the Bianca Goolsbee universe, in the Kimberlyn Jackson universe, we exist in spaces where we are doing what's right for people and what's right for children. And so accountability does live here, and it will be coming. And I do look forward to how accountability is going to show up. And I think our best revenge is sharing our story. Sharing our story. And there are a lot of eyes that are pointed towards you right now, towards us right now. And so my question is always, now that you have the mic, what are we talking about? You know? So you all, again, will have to strap in, because this is a several part series and things are happening in real time. So we're going to do our best to close the loops and let you all know how you can best support on these journeys. And amplification is always going to be something that is welcome. So sharing and commenting and talking about and making connections from what you remember, if you've been here for a while, if you don't, and then you go and do some research looking into that, you know, we will share the receipts and, you know, the articles that we've referenced and all that. But, you know, y'all also can go down there to the Googles and put in Kimberlyn Jackson and Bianca Goolsbee and Tamara Schamberger and Abette Lewis, and like, you can go and Google these things. Like, there is definitely a digital footprint to be able to look up about what has been happening again in the seventh largest school district in the United States of America. So we'll be back next episode, picking up from the origin story of Morning Tea and Allegations. As Bianca mentioned, is her talk show that was birthed out of the superintendent search. So that is where we'll pick up with our next piece of this journey, and we'll be able to talk to that origin story and then how Morning Tea and Allegations has evolved and the cross-sectionals, if you will, of what that looks like in my world, in my space. So tell the people where they can find you before we get from out of here.
You can find me on my website at www.biancagoolsbee.com. On my website, you'll see my blogs and where my social spaces live and how you can connect with me and subscribe to my mailing list. I have an email that's dropping soon, so make sure you get that. Where can the people find you?
And so I would like for y'all to come and connect with me in the archive. I am getting digital spaces and things reworked and all of that. So if you come over to patreon.com/mindingmyblackassbusiness, that is where you can find me easily and connect to the community that we are building over there. And then you can also find me on Instagram at Kimberlyn J and on YouTube at Minding My Black Ass Business. So we'll be back, y'all. Make sure y'all like, comment, share, subscribe to the page. You know, do all the things, tap the screen and, you know, drop emojis, do all the things to help us to amplify everything that is happening over here in our worlds.
Yeah. Thank y'all for watching and thank you for the grace, as again, I'm actively processing all of this. And I know that you are too, Kimberlyn. And advocacy is hard, y'all. So we got to love on each other as we're in this work, but also the three keys: accountability, transparency, and integrity. It's important for all of us to follow these three keys so that we could truly make our world a better place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that confirmation horn.
I'm about to say confirmation from the horns outside. Okay. All right, y'all. So we'll catch y'all next time. Looking forward to your comments and thoughts and wonderings and questions and all the things.
Until next time. Peace.
Bye.